You're listening to the Grace Through Faith weekly podcast. For more information, go to mygtf.org. We hope you enjoy.
Well, good morning, GTF. Glad that you guys are here. It's good to see your bright and shiny faces, although it is a little dark. I'm having a hard time seeing your bright and shiny faces. Hey, if you have your bulletins, if you'll pull those out and look at those, there's a couple things that I want you to be aware of that's going on. We have our new bulletins out for the month of November, so some things that are happening next month that we want you to be aware of. First of all, don't forget next week is a time change, and so we'll fall back an hour, and it'll be a great experience for us. This one's better than the one in the spring, I think. And so just remember that. Also, we're going to be having another community Thanksgiving service, and so if you're new to the community, I just want to invite you to be a part of that. We have once a year, this only happens about once a year, but we gather together as the body of Christ with all of the other churches in town. And so this is a really powerful worship service. And so we pull together as a ministerial alliance here in town, and we host just a moment where the community can come together and give God praise and thanks. And so we're going to get to host that this year. Our worship team is going to be hosting worship. Matt Matsky from First Street Church is going to be bringing the message. Several other pastors from town are going to be helping out with different parts of the service. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. That's going to be on Sunday night, the 17th. It's going to be at 6:30 right here in the GTF Sanctuary. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. Well, we just finished, as Pastor Bo was mentioning earlier, we just finished a sermon series titled Holy Pursuit. And we were up at the mountain last weekend, and I felt like the ladies did a fantastic job, didn't they? Amen. Y'all give them a hand. We believe that women can preach the word and minister what God has for us, and they did a fantastic job of making God proud and hosting his presence last weekend and bringing the word. And so just really grateful for them. We're working on a new sermon series. Honestly, I don't even know what it's going to be titled yet, but we've been working on the messages, and I'm really excited about the seed that we're going to be sowing, and we're kind of putting the final touches on that. But this weekend, we're really excited to have a guest with us. We're going to be having an encounter service tonight. And as we're kind of getting ready for that, we invited Andrew Chalmers to come with us. Some of you guys may remember him. He's been with us before from Take the City. They're based out of Georgia. And they do a powerful ministry of just really evangelizing, getting into what God's doing in their city. But he also goes out to different communities, and they came to our community a couple years ago and really tried to sow some seeds of evangelism into us as a church, but also into some other churches. We came together as a group effort. And so as we met them and kind of spent some time with them, they're just phenomenal, phenomenal family. And so if you guys would welcome this morning, Andrew Chalmers.
I'm going to have Ellen come up too. It's good to be with you all this morning. And we're just so grateful to be here. We love Pastor Jory and April. Just so thankful for you guys and your whole family. I want to have Ellen just share, just real briefly, would you just share about the things that we brought with us? So we actually brought some stuff with us this morning from our ministry, and we have some different products. And so I wanted Ellen to just share about this, the beautifully made products, just real quick.
All right, if I start talking about Jesus, I usually cry, so... So we run a ministry called Take the City, and in it we have an anti-sex trafficking ministry. So we reach out to women on the streets that are in prostitution. And so we have a safe house, and we get the girls off the street into our safe house, and then we hook them up into a program, a long-term program. So we're not a long-term program. We know lots of long-term programs that they can go and receive the healing and the help that they need through Christ and the program that is around them. And so we created a product called Beautifully Made, and it's amazing. I'm not a person that wears product at all. And this is just cream. It's hand lotion. And then we also have a body scrub. But it's all natural. It's really good. It's a high-end product. And they make it, and we use the money to continue helping women. And so I just want to give a personal testimony. So I have 4 kids and 3 under the age of 3. And so during nap time, is my time where I can have some women over and I get to minister to them with some of the other ladies that help minister. And so we had these two young ladies that had gotten off the street, and they were just fresh off the street. And so one was just, I mean, both of them really wanted to go back on, out on the street. It sounds crazy, but that's just the power of addiction. When you just have been getting your worth from something else, that you just want to return to that because it was so foreign. And this one lady, we were praying with her, and God brought up a memory of just when she has eight kids and she doesn't have custody of any of them. And there was one time that she just felt like she was so worthless because she was getting a fix and her baby was in the car just crying. And she was just so worried and consumed about getting the next high, and she just left her baby in the truck. And just how kind is God to forgive just the worst of sinners? Like, that's the true gospel. And she felt such a release and a peace and a love that she had never felt before. And she was able to go into the program, and she's still in the program, and she wants to actually return and help with Take the City. And it's the full circle, the full gospel of people who are just rejected have been brought in. They have been brought close and made a brother and a sister in the Lord. So just, I want to encourage you, this is a really awesome product. I'm not just saying it because it goes towards women, but it really is, it's a really nice product. And so great Christmas presents, birthday presents, just, and you're helping women become set free.
Isn't my wife awesome? Come on, give her a hand. So actually, this weekend, we're doing something interesting. We do it a few times a year. We do something called a war weekend, where we get different members of churches and friends that we have, and we rent hotel rooms in crack motels where prostitution is happening, and we go and do 24/7 worship, prayer, and proclamation of the gospel. And we actually have a group in a hotel or a motel right now in Alabama, preaching the gospel. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Even this morning, just know, God is moving powerfully through this ministry, this sex trafficking ministry that we have. And I'm just really excited because I just believe that God wants to reach down into some of the hardest, darkest places through us. You know, not just some of us, but all of us to reach out and bring the gospel and bring hope. And last time we actually did this outreach, we were at a motel and they were sharing the gospel, and there was a girl who was soliciting herself. They end up ministering to her. She's touched by the power of God in the parking lot of the motel. She says, "Come back with me to my room." And they come back with her. Her pimp is actually in the hotel room. And they go in there, they're ministering to her. She's weeping uncontrollably under the power of God. And her pimp ends up getting radically born again as well. He gets touched. And within 3 days, both of them got out of the life. Not only did the girl get into a program of restoration, the pimp actually got out. He was addicted to crack cocaine. He ends up getting out, and he went into a long-term recovery program, all within 4 days of the church going out and being the church in the hardest, darkest places. Isn't that awesome? You know, I firmly believe that Jesus many, many times would be in the places where many times the church isn't. You know, if you read the scriptures over and over and over again, you see Jesus going to the places where most people didn't want to go, right? And so the church, we should look like Jesus, right? We should talk like Jesus. We should act like Jesus. And so I just believe many, many times the church, we're so scared of those places, or we're so busy with our lives that we forget about the people that Jesus would actually be with. And I love to just throw this out there to people. You know, be thinking about in your life, where would Jesus be today? Where would Jesus be this afternoon? Where would Jesus be tonight? Who would he be with? I want to give my life to being with the people that he would be with. Amen? Amen. Awesome. I also have a book that I brought. This is my mom's book. It has my testimony in it. I'm going to share my testimony this morning and a little bit of my story and what God did in my life. The name of the book is called No One Visits the Mother of a Drug Addict. And this is a story from my mom's perspective of being a parent and having a loved one that was addicted to drugs and alcohol and walking through that process. And so I would encourage you guys to grab this book if you're interested in reading more about my testimony. But also, if you or if you know someone that needs encouragement, maybe someone in their family is dealing with addiction right now, this is a book written to them, to speak to them. So I would just encourage you guys to check that out. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning, God, this time that we have together. Lord, I thank you for this church. God, I just honor Pastor Jory. I just honor this congregation and what you're doing here in Dumas, Lord. Thank you for the power of your Spirit moving in and through this church. Lord, thank you for what you want to do today. And Holy Spirit, we just give you permission. We invite you to come and just have your way. Lord, come and do what only you can do. Lord, we just say, come and have your way. Come on, just begin to pray right now, church. Just begin to lift up your voices. God, we just invite you. Lord, come and speak to us. Come and have your way, Lord. Lord, we love your presence. We love you, God. We adore you, God. We want to live for you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you today. We love you, God. We worship you, God. We honor you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you guys just a couple of testimonies throughout my time this morning, but I really want to share a message that was put on my heart just a few days ago, and I want to share it with you guys this morning. And it's all about ultimate surrender. I really felt like through the worship time and then afterwards, I just feel like the Holy Spirit was really emphasizing the message of surrendering to Jesus Christ. And so I want to title this morning's message, Surrender, but not just surrender. I want to title it Unconditional Surrender. Okay? And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, we're going to look at just a few scriptures and talk about submitting our lives to the Lordship of Jesus. To surrender our lives to Jesus is to put our lives totally under the submission of his leadership. And as Pastor Jory was sharing, he really just inspired me to change my whole message that I was planning to preach that I wrote. When he got up here, and I was like, okay, Lord, I sense what you're saying. But here's what he said. He said, I feel like there's some people in here, and you feel fearful or anxious about what it really looks like to give up your whole life, right? To give up everything to the Lord. And here's what I want to attach that to. The reason that we are scared of submission to the Lordship of Jesus is actually connected to our understanding of his leadership and how we can actually trust in his leadership. And his leadership is demonstrated in the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the fact that he laid down his life for us. And we will only submit to a leader when we know we can trust him. Does this make sense? You'll never submit to someone if you think they're going to abuse you or harm you or hurt you, right? You might comply. You may have to do what they say, so you'll comply. But how many of you guys know submission is even greater than just complying to someone? It actually has to do with the issue of your heart. How many of you guys have seen that with kids? I have four. Raise your hand if you've seen that with kids. They're complying, but you know they are not really submitted, right? Right? The Lord wants us to be submitted in every way to his leadership. And so I want to talk about being totally surrendered. And I want to talk about this morning just an absolute unconditional surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So in battle, when you surrender, typically there's a way that you would signify surrender. You would raise a white flag. How many of you guys have ever heard that, right? Raise your white flag, right? Well, the purpose of raising that white flag is it's an outward expression of an inward decision saying, I give up, right? And that white flag is a sign of surrender, okay? And so when two armies are fighting and then one of them decides to give up, what would they do is they would raise up a white flag or somehow, some way, they would show a sign that says, I give up. Like, I surrender to you. I submit to you. You're over us now. We submit ourselves to your army. You know, in the body of Christ, in our lives, we show our inward decision and our inward heart to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, not just by thinking about it, but actually by complying with it and living it out on a daily basis. And I want to talk about how in a battle, there's a difference between a surrender and an unconditional surrender. Did you know there's a difference between surrender and unconditional surrender? You know, in battle terms, surrender is actually, it's presumed that when you use the term surrender, that you're actually talking about a conditional surrender. Here's what I mean. Typically, when one army is fighting another army, and then one of the armies surrenders, what happens is then they go to a table and they come to terms. And here are the terms, like, okay, you get this land, we get that land. You get this, I get this, right? Well, you can do this, but we want this too, right? So most surrenders, and in fact, if you study just history, many surrenders had some sort of conditions to them. Like you get to keep something, you can retain some level of governance over your land, but we're really over you, but you're still kind of governing it. And most surrenders are conditional surrenders. But in a battle where there is, you know, one force coming against another, and one force doesn't want to allow them to have any conditions, that is what's called the unconditional surrender, where basically they're looking for those other forces not to just, you know, say, I quit, but they're actually looking for those other forces to say, I give up and I'll do whatever you want. One time where that phrase was first used was in the Civil War. And in the Civil War, you had the North was coming down the South and they were ravaging the South. And there was a specific battle that the general of that army said, no, we want an unconditional surrender. And they would not stop pounding the South, that army that they were fighting. They wouldn't stop until the other army actually said, okay, we completely give up. We completely surrender. You know, the Lord, he doesn't want to be just Lord of part of your life. He wants to be the Lord of all of your life. He wants to be the Lord of every part of your life. You know, I grew up in church. I grew up around worship songs and hearing the scriptures. I grew up, you know, hearing it from the time I can first remember. And I knew about the cross. I knew about the resurrection. I knew about Easter. I knew about Christmas. I knew about all these things. But knowing about all of those things didn't mean that I was fully committed to Jesus. In my life, I knew Jesus in a lot of ways as Savior, but I didn't know him as Lord. I knew that Jesus could save me from my sins because he died on the cross, and I put my faith in him, then he would forgive me of those sins and I could go to heaven. That was my understanding of the gospel. But what I didn't understand is that Jesus didn't want to just save me. He wanted to be my Lord. He wanted all of my life, and he wanted me to bring every part of me completely to him. And one of the tensions of scriptures is this. Okay, here's a tension that's in scripture. You guys know there's a lot of things that pull against one another in the Bible, okay? One of them is actually based on a scripture that's on the wall right here, Ephesians 2. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he paid the ultimate price for the forgiveness of our sins. And it's not by any works, because nobody can say, well, I've been better than you, so therefore I deserve to go to heaven. We understand that. It's by grace that we have been saved. But also there's another reality. There's a tension in scripture that if we choose to obey to the lordship of Jesus, then and only then can we reap the blessings from the Lord. We can only experience the blessings of God when we actually begin to submit to the lordship and the kingship of Jesus. God's calling us to receive by faith and through grace what he did on the cross. He wants us to come to him and receive that freely, but he also wants us to freely respond to that by giving him everything. You know, I struggled with addiction to drugs until I was 21 years old. At 15 years old, I went to high school. I had already been doing drugs since the time I was around the age of 11. And by the time I was age 15, one of my friends, he came in to school. He had stolen some prescription pills from his dad, and he brought them to school, and he gave them to me. And when I took those drugs for the first time, I remember the first thought came into my mind is, I never want to stop feeling this way. That was the first thing that came in my mind. I never want this to go away. And for the next 6 years of my life, I pursued that because I thought that was what I was created for, was to feel good, was to have a good time, right? To party and to live for myself. That's what I thought that my life was all about. But very, very quickly, living that life
right? Everything started getting worse and worse and worse. At the age of 18, I started using heroin. And basically, from the next 3 years until I was 21 years old, my life slowly deteriorated and fell apart. Now, from 18 to 21, I tried several times to get my life back together. Like, I wanted my life to come back together. I didn't want to screw up my whole life. I didn't want to mess everything up. I wanted to try to be a good person. You know, I wanted to try to be there for my family. I had a son at the age of 19 when I was on drugs, and I wanted to be there for my kid. And I had all the reasons to make my life better, right? And even at times, I remember going to a church and hoping that that would make my life better, but nothing seemed to change. And what was missing was this, is I only knew Jesus as a savior, but I didn't know him as my Lord. In other words, I wanted God to raise, you know, like do a little magic wand over my life and make me stop wanting to get high. And if he would just do that, then I would be a good person. And that's what I thought the gospel was, right? But Jesus actually wants me to not only come to him by faith and receive the free gift of salvation, but he also wants me to willingly surrender everything to him. And until I was willing to do that, you know what happened to me? Over and over and over again, I would build my life back up, right? I would stack everything back up. I'd be like, oh, look, I got a job. I got a house. I got this. I got my apartment. I got insurance on my car. I paid off that fine, right? And I would start rebuilding my house, and then it would all fall apart. And then I would try to rebuild it again and rebuild it again, rebuild it again. And over and over and over again, it kept crumbling. It kept falling apart. And ultimately, the scripture that comes to my mind is in Matthew chapter 7, at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there's two types of people in this world. There's people that build their house on sand, and there's people that build their house on a rock. This is how he closes his sermon. And he says, the people who build their house on the sand, basically, they hear my words, but they don't obey me. And what happens is they build their house, and it looks beautiful, but then the storms of life come, and over and over and over again, everything crumbles and falls. But he says, there are those that build their house instead on the rock. In other words, they do what I say. They submit to my leadership. They give me their whole lives, and they follow me with everything. And he said, when the storms of life come, they're left standing. How many of you guys want to be left standing no matter what you face? How many of you guys know that life isn't just like a cakewalk, right? Raise your hand if you know that. Some of you are still living in delusion. Guys, it's not a cakewalk. There are times that are going to be hard, and that's what I thought. I thought, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear my Jesus necklace. I'm going to go to these meetings. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get some counseling. But here's what's really going to happen. I'm going to hold on to about 98% of my life. I'll say that I'll give God 2% of my life. And I hope because I gave him 2%, maybe he'll bless my life, right? And I would live in this delusion, and a storm or something hard would happen, or I'd have a breakup or a fallout with a job or something, right? And what would happen? Everything would just crumble and fall. How many of you guys have had that experience in your life yourself? How many of you guys had a testimony like that, where that's what you went through? Well, that's where I struggled with. In 2009, what ended up happening is I actually lost everything. I wound up homeless in Atlanta, Georgia. I was actually living out of a bag where everything I owned was in this bag. I actually brought that bag with me to Texas this weekend. It's still traveling with me to this day. I told Ellen on the way here, I'm going to buy another bag like this whenever I need a new one, because this thing has lasted so long. But I lived out of that bag, and I was strung out. It was November of 2009, strung out on drugs, homeless, suicidal, wanting to die. And I had this encounter with the Lord while I'm out on the streets, and the Lord speaks to me. And within 24 hours, my dad comes and finds me behind an abandoned building, shooting up, getting high. And he asked me to get in the car. I told my dad, I'll kill you if you try to take my drugs from me. And he said, I'm not going to take your drugs. I want you to come with me. Come on. And I end up finishing all my drugs. I get in the car with my dad, and he takes me into a hospital. They detoxify me from drugs. I start going through withdrawals and different things, and then they send me to a teen challenge program here in Texas. My first time in Texas, I was withdrawing on drugs and going into a teen challenge program. Since then, God has redeemed my view of Texas, but that I land in Texas. I'm coming off drugs. I'm going into teen challenge, and I did not want to be there. And I knew that I wanted my life to get better, but I didn't want to submit to Jesus Christ. And here's the reason is I didn't really think I could trust him with my life. You know, most people don't submit to Jesus because they actually don't think he knows what's best. Most of us don't surrender all ultimately because we don't really think Jesus knows what he's doing as far as leading the entire universe and holding everything together and creating everything and establishing the plans of God in the earth and ruling the universe. Like, okay, well, we can't trust him, right? We don't think we can trust him with our lives. And I didn't want to fully submit and surrender to him. But then finally, one day, I actually decided I was going to leave that program and I was going to go get high with three other guys that were in the program. We plotted what we were going to do. We were getting ready to leave. And the night before we left, I end up having this encounter with the Lord. And I was not in a church. I was sweeping outside doing chores in a Teen Challenge program. How many are familiar with Teen Challenge? Just raise your hand. Okay. I'm in a Teen Challenge program and I'm sweeping, doing chores. And this guy comes up to me and he puts his finger in my face and he says, "Bro, you know, God loves you so much." And I was just thinking in my head, I was like, I hope you get your finger out of my face and get away from me. Like, I don't want you talking to me right now. And his name was Juan, and he had tattoos all over him, and he had been through a lot in his life, but God had transformed him. And he ends up starting to prophesy over my life, and he starts to declare that God was gonna change my life, that he was gonna use my life. And as he starts to prophesy over my life, something starts to change. I'm standing there at the beginning, I wanna punch him in the face, and then suddenly I start crying uncontrollably, and I don't know why I'm crying. And he's just sitting there telling me, like, God loves me. God has this plan. And I start crying, and I start crying, and I start crying. And I did not want to be crying, but I couldn't stop crying. And so I look at Juan, and I said, "Bro, what did you do to me?" He said, "Bro, I didn't do anything. It's God's love for you. He loves you so much." And what's amazing is God met me and encountered me in that moment of deep darkness and sin and rebellion and hating God, right? I wanted nothing to do with him. But even in that moment of despising him, God still loved me and God still wanted me. And when I began to experience the presence of God and the love of God, that was the moment where I literally, on that loading dock, I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ. You know what happens when you bow to someone? It means I submit to you. You're above me. I submit, I honor you. And in that moment, I never forget, I actually literally bowed my knee to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to totally surrender to you." Jesus changed my life from that moment of surrender. I want to talk about just a couple of things. I want to talk about signs of surrender. At the beginning, I talked about a white flag, holding up a white flag and how that's a sign of surrender. You know, in my life, that day when I bowed my knee to Jesus, it didn't stop there. Like, I didn't just get up and just go on with my life. I had to daily surrender to Jesus, and I had to daily submit myself to who he was and what he wanted to do in my life. You know, Jesus doesn't want just a one-time, like, "Okay, God, I give up." He wants every day for you to be submitted and surrendered to him. Amen. That's what he wants from each and every one of us. And in the same way, when you're in battle and you raise a white flag, when you show that white flag, it shows that you've surrendered. In the same way that there's a white flag in battle, there are actual signs of surrender that you can see in a person's life that actually show that you're submitting yourself to the Lord. And here I want to talk about four signs of surrender. Number one is obedience and lifestyle. And I would just point to Matthew 5 through 7, which talks about, it's the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus basically says, like, this is the way you should live your life. One sign of surrender to Jesus is that you start living the way that Jesus commanded you to live. You start obeying him and submitting yourself to him. The second sign is you start obeying him and making disciples who make disciples. Matthew 28, he said, "Go and make disciples." And so a sign of surrender in your life is that you're making disciples. You're sharing the gospel with others. A third sign is obedience of abiding and living in relationship with him. John chapter 15. a sign of surrender is that you'll actually be spending time with the Lord and you'll be connecting to him on a daily basis. A fourth sign of surrender is actually laying down your rights. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives through me. You know, when we come to Jesus, we're called to put our lives on the cross with him and surrender everything to him. Amen? And the last thing that I want to share is radical generosity. A sign of surrender is that you will actually be generous with your life. And I just want to read John chapter 3, a very familiar passage to everyone in the room, I'm sure. But John chapter 3, it shows just the generosity of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I want to focus just on John 3:16. He so loved the world that he gave. You know, when we come to Jesus, we submit to his leadership. We begin to surrender our lives to live the way that he lived. And God's calling us to live a life of radical generosity. You want to give me a different mic? Okay.
Okay. Does this work now? You know, one time I was in a subway, and I was checking out at a subway. I was just grabbing lunch one day, just normal day, had a little break from work. And while I was checking out, there was a huge line in the subway. So it took me probably 30 minutes to get my food. And as I'm in line, the Holy Spirit starts to really mess with me in a good way. How many of you guys have ever had the Holy Spirit start talking to you in a public place, telling you to do something you don't want to do? Raise your hand if you ever had that experience. So I'm standing in line, and there's a woman behind me, an older woman, and the Lord starts saying, buy her food. And I'm thinking, like, okay, I don't know that I want to buy her food, because that might be awkward. What if she gets offended if I buy her food? What's going to happen, right? I don't want to do that, right? And the Holy Spirit's like, buy her food, buy her food, buy her food. And so the whole time I'm in line, for 20, 30 minutes, I'm just like telling the Lord, no, I don't want to do what you're saying, right? I didn't want to submit to him. I didn't want to obey him. How many of you guys know that Jesus actually wants us to obey him? Raise your hand if you understand that. He doesn't want us to just give him a thought and just kind of think about him. He actually wants us to obey what he says. And so I'm getting towards the end of the line, and as I'm checking out, again, the Lord just says, buy her food. And I was like, okay, fine, fine. You know, like almost like out loud, I said it. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am, I'm going to buy your food. She's like, okay. and the guy behind the register was like taken back because I was so abrupt. Like I didn't do it nicely. I was just almost like frustrated, like, fine, ma'am, I'm going to buy your food. And so I tell the lady, I say, okay, I'm going to buy your food. She says, okay. The guy says, all right. And so I said, whatever she got, I'm going to buy her food. And he's like, okay, great. So everyone behind me in the line was like watching that situation. And I felt so awkward in that moment. And I walk away and I'm kind of feeling like, okay, thank God that was over, right? And I'm getting my drink and the woman comes over to me and she's weeping. And she says, you have no idea what that meant to me. And I said, no, I don't. And she said, I lost my job several months ago. And she said, I haven't been able to get any of my disability or anything yet. And she said, I literally ran out of food this morning. I ate the last bit of food in my house. This is a true story. This is what she said. I ate the last bit of my food this morning. I had $5.50 left to my name. I came here to eat my last meal. The last meal I could pay for. I didn't know what I was going to do after that. I came here to eat my last meal. And just before I was going to pay for my food, you look over at me and you say this to me. She's crying. And I said, the Lord told me to do that for you and to bless you. And she said, what church do you go to? And I got to pray with her and share the gospel with her and minister to her and share with her. God's so generous that he gave.
You know, Jesus wants us to obey him in radical generosity, not just in giving our tithes and offerings, but even like out in the community, that we would obey him in that way. Amen? I want to talk about the reasons why we can trust Jesus. Because again, pointing back to the beginning, most of the time we don't submit to God. We don't surrender to his leadership because we don't really think he knows what's best. And I know that's my testimony. That's Ellen's testimony as well. We were just talking about it this week, about how even for my wife, it was so hard for her to submit to the Lord in certain areas of her life because she didn't really trust God, you know, about, okay, well, what about God? When am I gonna get married? When am I gonna do this? When is this gonna happen for me? And because in so many areas she didn't trust God, and in many ways I didn't trust God, in a lot of ways I reaped a lot of bad consequences that I probably wouldn't have had to if I would have just obeyed him. Amen? God wants us to walk in obedience to him. And just three simple reasons why we can trust Jesus. And this might seem obvious to you, but I just wanna point it out. Number one, he's God. You can look at John chapter 1 and 1 John 1. He's God who created everything and holds all things together. If you ever think that you can't trust Jesus when he's telling you to do something hard, just remember that Jesus created the entire universe, and he probably has a little bit bigger and better perspective about your life than you do. Right? How many of you guys have tried leading your children and they're intentionally doing something really stupid and you're like, no, you don't want to do that. And they're like, no, I do. And you're like, you're just thinking in your head, like, if you could only see my perspective right now, you would not be this stupid, right? And they still want to do it. You're like, why? And the reason is because they refuse to trust your leadership, right? 99% of the time, my oldest son won't obey me is because he's not really trusting that I know what's best for him. You know, most of the time we don't walk in obedience to Jesus Christ is because we don't really trust him. You know, a lot of the church today in America wants Jesus to be their savior, but not their Lord. We want Jesus to give us a ticket to heaven so that we cannot go to hell, and maybe give us a nice truck, a good house, the American dream, praise God, bless the Lord. And then we go to heaven, right? Follow Jesus. But that's not the gospel. Jesus isn't just our Savior. He wants to be our Lord. And we can trust him because he's God. Amen? The second reason is because he gave his life for us and he demonstrated his love for us at the cross. You know, you can really trust someone when they're willing to sacrificially show that they love you. Right? How many of you guys have experienced that with someone in your life where you knew you were friends with that person, but then you saw, like, how many of you guys have ever had someone really sick or someone pass away in your family, and you saw in that time who really was your friend? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And you were surprised at some people that weren't really, and you were surprised at some people that were. How many of you guys have experienced that again? Raise your hand, okay? How many of you know that after that, you trusted them at a much higher level than you did before? Why? Because they sacrificially gave up something for you. Not when it was easy, not when it was Christmas, right? Not on your birthday. When it was really hard, they sacrificed for you. You know, when someone sacrificially gives for you, it demonstrates the fact that you can trust them. You know, when we look at the cross, you know what that should immediately say to everyone in this room? I can totally trust Jesus with every area of my life. You know, my refusal to trust Jesus in every area of my life reaped a lot of really, really hard, bad things in my life. You know, there's still what you reap or what you sow, you will reap. That's still a reality for Christians. You guys know that, right? Right? We go to heaven not because of our works, but because of grace, right? Through faith. But you know that still, if you make stupid decisions in this life as a Christian, you still reap from those stupid decisions. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, if you sleep around on your wife, you know that, like, that's just not going to slide. You're probably going to pay for that in some major way. It's going to cost you, right? If you do this, if you do that, there are consequences to our actions. And many times we suffer consequences that wasn't God's will. And then we say, well, God wanted to, you know, test me by fire. No, it's you were unwilling to submit to the lordship of Jesus, and your unwillingness to surrender to him, it caused you to fall into sin and to not fully live for him. And that's why you're reaping that consequence. You guys know what I'm saying. And the last thing is that his leadership is perfect, and he'll lead us always into what is best for us. His leadership is perfect. Jesus' leadership is perfect. Let's just say that together. His leadership is perfect. He's flawless in every way. You know, you can trust him with every area of your life. I want to just put a scripture up on the screen. It says 2 Peter 1:3, and I want to land on this. And this is the good news about what I was sharing this morning. You know, God's calling us into a life of total surrender. And I don't know if the worship team would be willing to come up and just play that bridge that we sang at the very end. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I want to read that again if we can get it up there. 2 Peter 1:3. Sorry, I'm just throwing this on them at the last minute. But 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, he's given you everything that you need to walk in submission to him and to be blessed by the Lord. He's given you everything you need in the person of the Holy Spirit. And just in closing right now, I want to point to the bread and the wine. And I want us to think right now about communion. You guys know right before the Lord went to the cross, it was the Passover and they celebrated a meal together. And at that meal, he offered them bread and he offered them wine. And he offered them the bread, and that represented the healing and the salvation that they could receive, wholeness, right? And then he says this, and take this and drink this wine. This represents my blood, right, which is poured out as a new covenant. A new covenant. And when he says new covenant, here's what he's pointing to. He's pointing to the promises that are seen in the Old Testament, where God promises people that he would make a covenant with them, where he would give them a spirit that would actually give them a desire to obey God. He says in Jeremiah, he says in Ezekiel, he says in Isaiah, he says, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna establish a new covenant with you. And in this new covenant, I'm gonna give you a new spirit, and I'm gonna actually write upon your heart the very law, the Torah, the commandments of God would be written and inscribed upon your heart. And here's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And he shed his blood, and his body was broken for you. Through what he did on the cross, he opened up an invitation for every one of us to enter into this new covenant with God. And here's the good news. This is the gospel, okay? This is the gospel. If you don't hear anything else, just listen to this. This is the gospel that Jesus paid for. The gospel is that when Jesus died on the cross, he opened up an invitation to enter into covenant with him. The old covenant was this. They had tablets of stone. I don't know how big they were, but they had words on them that told them how to live their lives. And if they didn't, then they would reap the consequences and they would suffer. But if they did, they would be blessed. In the new covenant, God promises that he would give them a new spirit, and this new spirit would actually take what was written on the tablets of stone and put it on their heart and give them a desire to do what's right and to be blessed. You know, God wants us to be fully surrendered and submitted to him. And some of you guys, you came in this morning thinking, hey, I'm going to go to church. This is going to be a nice service. And I pray it has been a nice service. But I really feel like what the Holy Spirit's doing right now, and I sense a lot of resistance from some people in the room, just in the spirit, that you're resisting the idea that you're not surrendered to the Lord. And you're living in a delusion that you are, but actually the Lord's trying to tell you right now that you're not. And I would encourage you to be open to letting the Holy Spirit convict you right now about areas of your life where actually Jesus is not Lord. And I would encourage you in this, you can totally trust Jesus with every area of your life. Every area. You can trust him with every area. Let's just stand up right now. And I just want to give an invitation just to surrender to the Lord. And if you would say this morning, I realize through the worship, through the invitation that Pastor Jory gave, through the message that you just heard, the testimony, I realize there's areas of my life that are not fully surrendered to Jesus, then I would encourage you right now to just lift up both your hands as a white flag. If you say, right now, I need to give him some areas of my life. There's parts of me I haven't let go, and I just repent of that, and I want Jesus to have all of me. And I want to sing the bridge, the end, the last part, that you can have my love, you can have my heart, you can have all of me. And what I want to do is I don't want to just sing it just because it sounds cool. I want us to really participate right now with what the Lord's doing in the room and say, God, we give up everything to you. And if you feel like right now for the first time, you need to give your life to Jesus and put your faith in him, would you wave your hands right now at me? Is there anyone in the room you say, for the first time, I need to submit my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to him. Is there anyone here this morning? Just say, I need to give my life to him. Just wave your hands at me. Is there anyone here? Let's pray together right now. Lord, we surrender all to you. We give you every part of our lives. We submit our lives to you. We submit our love to you. We submit every area right now. God, we don't want to hold anything back. But Lord, we want to be totally yielded to you. And I want you to pray that out loud with me. Just pray it in faith right now. Lord, come on, louder. Lord, you're in control. Not me. I let go of my weak attempts to pretend that I'm in control of my life. You're the boss. You're the Lord. And Lord, I don't want to hide any area. I don't want to hold back any place. But God, I want to be fully submitted to your Lordship. I want to follow you with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with every area. You can have control right now. And before we sing, I want you to just think right now, if there's an area in your life you need to confess to the Lord. He did that to me just this week, where he showed me some areas where I haven't been trusting him, and I've been trying to control the situation, or I've been trying to be the one in charge. And he's been showing me, no, you need to fully surrender. And so as we sing the song, I just want you to just think about those areas where you need to surrender to him completely. And I want you to even say out loud, I would dare you right now, if there's something that's come to mind, to say, Lord, I give you the area, and be specific about that area. Amen.
Heart and to identify something that we have been trying to control rather than letting Jesus be the Lord of, I want to encourage you to bring that to the table this morning. As he was even talking about bread and wine and the communion that Jesus invited his disciples to come and partake of, as we receive these elements this morning, I want to encourage you, rather than just going through the motions and coming and getting this piece of bread and dipping it in the cup, to bring that place of submission to Jesus at the table. And say, God, this is my response. And as I meet you at the table, then this is the place that I am inviting you to become the Lord of my life. And many of you, listen, I know that you're saved, that you love Jesus and all those things, but there is a transition in our lives whenever we say, Jesus, I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let you be the boss. I'm going to let you determine where I go. And I'm going to the best of my abilities, by the power of your Spirit, obey what you're asking me to do. And so those who are, if you guys will go ahead and come on up, I'm going to ask Annabelle to continue to lead us. And as she does, I want to invite you to come to the table this morning and leave that submission at the feet of God.